Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 28, It Took an Army of Two, Jack Wolf.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
I'm Blue Onyx.
There's no more seats!
Shut up!
This is Anvil.
And I got some bad news and I got some good news. The bad news is, Jay Leno now wants our show.
Fucking asshole.
You know what it is? We'll step in the octagon, I might hit him so hard the rest of his head will swell to match that chin of his.
Well, the good news is we're not owned by NBC, so Jay Leno can suck my cock.
Well, I don't know. If I do it right, he might start looking like Conan O'Brien with the red hair with the blood going through. Hey, I'm an Irishman, okay? But I'm going to beat him so bad his hair is going to turn red with blood. Okay?
Well, remember that. Conan is Irish, so he's one of you.
And he's from around here.
Yep, correct. Harvard graduate. Wasn't he No, he was valedictorian.
Yes. And wasn't he cumna van Lauder?
Yep.
Ah, got it.
That's correct. Yeah. He used to write for the Harvard Lampoon, and then went on to write for SNL, then The Simpsons, and then to his own show.
Yep. But for some reason, they say that he only makes frat boys laugh. But I've never been to college, so I'm not a frat boy, and he makes me laugh.
Yeah, Conan is very funny. I know some people have, like, some sort of acquired taste for him. Well, but, come on. Masturbating bear. How funny is that?
The only one thing about Jay Leno I like, his car collection.
Yeah,
you gotta give him that.
That and a Y2K bike.
Well, that's his collection.
No, fuck that. That's not a car. It's a motorcycle.
His vehicle collection.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anything motorized, except for his dildo collection, because I heard he has quite an extensive collection.
I'm not surprised.
I remember a couple years ago when the Museum of Fine Arts did, I believe it was Tommy Hilfiger's car collection, and I wish that Jay Leno would do something similar to that.
Oh, I would go and take so many pictures. And do so many dirty things to those cars.
You'd be licking it.
Sure, we'll stop at licking it. He has an old 1954 Ford Falcon.
Yeah.
Original with the red and white leather seats. Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm done. Ooh. I need a cold shower. No, I'm kidding.
All right, on with the show.
Okay, well.
I was on the show.
Sports!
Oh, Lord. Alright, let me,
He has to take his ring off to talk about sports. Oh, wow. Oh, and he's cracking his bones and everything.
There's a lot that went on in sports today. Not today, but during the week. Alright, let's start off with the easiest part. Red Sox. They signed Hideki Okajima to a one-year deal, so we have that good left-hander in the bullpen.
Okay, but there's an issue with the contract, isn't there? It's like a non-guaranteed some shit like that. It was really fucked up.
Yeah, it was kind of dumb, but he's from Japan. He doesn't understand.
No.
Oh.
He signed it. No, hey, I love my Japanese people, but when it comes to negotiating the contracts, over in Japan it's different than here.
Yeah.
Because actually the contracts in Japan are no guaranteed money. So to him, it was just normal.
Yeah.
Right.
Over here, you know, you usually get some good guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see how we move on. We have a lot to cover.
Yeah.
Well, the Celtics are on a... they just shut down. The car shut down, broke down, there's nothing left. Transmission engine just fell out about quarter block back. They lost 3 out of the last 4. They beat the Nets.
Okay. That's New Jersey. So
the three of us combined could beat the Nets.
What do you mean? I can beat the Nets with one hand tied behind my back.
No, they did win 3 games, so you know, we do have to give them some credit.
Okay.
It's because they sat there and filled the water bottles for the other team with alcohol.
Yeah.
You mean what the Minnesota teams do all the time?
Whoa. They fill their own water bottles with alcohol. But I think Brett Favre is playing better. They give him alcohol and he has the best year of his career. Least interceptions, most touchdown passes? Come on. All right. But there is something, some basketball that we need to discuss. And I know my buddy Blue here has a huge opinion on it because he brought it up last week. Well, they indicted Gilbert Arenas on weapons charges. He pled guilty to 1 count of possession of a firearm without a license.
Yes! Take that, motherfucker!
He looks at a max. It's up to the judge, but they're going for the max amount of time in jail for that crime.
Yeah.
6 months.
Fucking assholes. See, now, that's the fucked up thing about that. I think he should have gotten a hell of a lot more. And not just because I'm a white male saying a black guy should stay longer in jail. Whoa, I'm saying because of the fact is he fucked up. He could have gotten somebody injured, but he didn't. I know he didn't, but it's just fucked
up. It was proven that there was no ammo in the weapon.
Oh.
That's why they only got him without a license. Because they could have gotten... Actually, it's a bigger crime to have the ammunition to a weapon in D.C. than actually having the weapon. So, if I were to give Blue a handgun, empty, and have him walk on the street, and give the Duck a box of ammo, Duck will spend more time in jail than Blue.
Wow, really? Why?
Because the bullets shoot, the gun doesn't.
Yeah, bullets.
I could teach you to shoot a bullet without
it's the a gun. It's
a cuss. Oh, like a slingshot?
No.
A hammer.
Yeah, a hammer.
With a... You put it against a firing pin, you tap it, and it will fire. It's the old zipper gun.
Like in Shoot 'Em Up, where he landed on fire with his hand.
Yeah, exactly.
The old zipper gun, they used to take a 12-gauge round, put it into the end of a pipe, and slam another one against it. Back in the 1920s and 30s.
And you used to see kids put bullets onto like the railroad tracks and shoot them that way, too.
Yep. So the gun is just an instrument to use it. The weapon, the bullets are actually the trouble.
Well, you can still use the gun as a weapon. Just go boom.
Yeah, but that's just like having a hammer. Hammer would do more damage.
All right. Well,
but
anyway,
let's move
off on that.
He pled guilty. He admitted that he was in the wrong, and he tried to make amends for it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all done stupid stuff.
Not as stupid as that.
I don't know. I've met your ex.
Well. That's a different fucking story.
No.
No, it is a different fucking
Having
story.
Having a gun would have made you a lot more intelligent.
Okay.
Yeah. I love you. You're like my brother, but come on.
Yeah.
No.
And we all know, Doug's done some, pretty bad things, too.
Not necessarily bad things.
Come on, man.
You out in public? That's bad enough. No, I'm kidding.
We've seen the video of you dancing naked on the empty cop car.
When did that happen?
I don't know.
What was that?
Hey, dude, I left my...
Too much Smirnoff Ice, okay? Just let's put it at that.
I laced the Smirnoff with Jack.
Oh, right.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Back to sports.
All right, let's move on to hockey.
Okay.
Hockey. The Bruins are doing all right. I wish they were doing a lot better. They won the other night 2-1 against a very good San Jose Sharks team.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Thomas allowed 1 goal. They fought back. They won in overtime. I mean, in the shootout, I apologize. Off of the Dano Charo shot. Tim Thomas is playing really good right now. He's finally heated up, and he's playing to the best of his ability.
Has Lucic come back yet? Because I've been kind of out of the loop. No. I've been... on the alcohol, adrenaline, rage video games.
Yes, that's always fun. Okay, but we'll discuss the video game part, but the alcohol, adrenaline, yes! Okay, I expect to see more. They do play again tonight. This is the last game in their West Coast tour, so let's go ahead and see what happens with this. I know me and Blue will probably chill in the bomb shelter, watch the big screen TV, turn on the AC... to get the whole ice effect and watch the game.
Yes.
But that's just, usually how it is. Well, I believe that's it with sports, because I don't want to talk about anything else.
Bullshit.
Bullshit.
Oh, bullshit.
We have to tear the Band-Aid off.
Wait. I'm going to save that to last then. So there have been a few moves already in football. I'm actually quite depressed over the second half of this. Now, the Patriots defensive coordinator walked away. Mm-hmm. We need an offensive coordinator. There were two names on the board that I wanted back. Cornell and Weiss. Charlie Weiss, Romeo Cornell, I wanted them back. We won 3 Super Bowls with these guys, and they were in Kansas City.
Both of them.
Together. They reunited.
Holding hands.
Yeah, but these two won 3 Super Bowls already with the Pats, and they have Scott Pioli, who's, over there, which they had here. They have Mike Vrabel and Matt Castle. I'm quite upset. I think if we got both of them, we'd be destructive again. Mm-hmm. Now, we have 4 picks in the first 2 rounds of the draft. 1 first round and 3 second round. I say first round, we get a running back. Fred Taylor, Sammy Morris, love the guys, but they're up there in age. They're going to be retiring. Lawrence Maroney, his gas tank, somebody forgot to fill it when he came out of the dealership. I say go to Georgia Tech and get their power running back, Jonathan Dwyer. I don't know if these two have ever seen him play, but he plays almost like an Adrian Peterson. Hmm. He lowers his head right through the middle, and he's a good, hard-nosed power runner. And that's what we need. Because you can't rely on Tom Brady all the time.
Oh, shit.
And yeah, then we especially need to, this past season.
Well, the man's coming off an injury. You can't blame him.
That and having a kid.
Hey, shut up. You go have a child.
Yeah, I mean psychologically, because he fucked up.
Actually, after he had his first son, we went undefeated.
Yeah.
So.
Until we lost at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
No, but I do have to say on that game, he had a fucking wide open run to the thing to get to the touchdown. It's just too much.
He's thinking his knee the whole time. Don't worry about it. We'll get to that in a minute.
Motherfucker.
I say we should go defense with the second round picks. Go with a linebacker, like a big nose tackle.
Is there anybody coming up in college that you might think about that would be probably good for those parts?
For linebacker, there's a good kid coming out of Texas. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's a good, solid player. But nothing huge. There's like some good nose tackles, but nothing that would take over for Vince Wilfork. Now, there's some changes that I think the Pats should make, and I hope somebody from, listens to this and might know somebody. I've been playing football, again, ready for my 10th year, 4th year semi-pro. I know what I'm talking about. Sign Vince Wilfork, get rid of Ty Warren, fill his spot with Mike Wright, because he had a good year, and on the other side have Derek Burgess. Derek Burgess had 5 sacks on the year. That's pretty good right there. Okay? Offensive line, I've been saying this for years. Get rid of Nick Kazier. His feet are too slow to move for the guys. Okay, I'm done. We have a very good offensive lineman in Sebastian Vollmer. We proved it this year. He did great. The kid's a phenom. Put him there. Matt Light is still doing good. Our offensive line is still strong. That's what we need right there.
But it can be a little bit stronger, though.
Well, with Sebastian Vollmer is when we actually played the best. His guys weren't overcompensating on that side for Nick Kazier, and we were playing a lot better on the line. That's when Brady was throwing a lot better. That's my opinion.
Yeah, that's when he actually had actual time to throw the fuck out.
Exactly. Down. And if Wes Welker's back and playing very well, picture this threat. Wes Welker on one side, Julian Edelman on the other, with Randy Moss deep. Ooh, it gives me chills just thinking about it. Because watching that game last week, watching Julian Edelman play, I saw a superstar in the making.
Yeah,
he caught that screen pass and zipped through 9 guys to get a first down.
He was very impressive. I mean, kind of like in the sense of like a replacement Wes Welker for right now. But it's just that it sucked that whole field incident with Wes Welker. Yep. Fucked up that whole concept. I mean, we could have been doing a hell of a lot better on that day.
I think we would have won.
Yeah.
But my outlook is, all right, as long as Julian Edelman basically sits on Wes Welker's shoulders and listens to everything he says and learns, we will be unstoppable. Mm-hmm. He can return kicks, return punts. He can do everything Wes Welker can do.
For a linebacker, we definitely need to get another back, like a Brewski. We need another Brewski.
We need a big, solid middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Now, me and this guy were talking about this at work, and he agreed with me. When I was sitting there watching the draft last year, and I see it's our turn, and I see Ray Maliuga out of USC and James Laurinaitis out of Ohio State, two devastating linebackers, I had so much drool dropping out of my mouth, I'm surprised I didn't die from dehydration. And I hear the Patriots select safety, Pat Chung. I'm like, huh, what?
Who?
Who the fuck is he?
Yeah, no shit.
It's like, we have two of the best linebackers in the nation for college sitting right there, and you didn't even take them. It's like, they were, like, gift wrapped.
Yeah, but did they get picked
they
up?
They had Chris Lights
they
all
got
over.
Picked up.
They and got picked up from the other things, but
they had some good years, too.
Yeah, but the only thing is that they probably got picked up by the whole setup with, you know, I think there's a whole interweaving background on, like, the whole, when you're picking guys and everything like that, and somebody told the Patriots not to take them because of the fact that they were hard to take it.
That would, no, because when it's your time to draft, nobody, you know, people have a board, but you could take a player even if somebody else wants them.
Oh, okay.
Because you're drafting, that's your choice of who you're going to take.
Okay.
But we need a better linebacker.
Yeah.
Because Gerard Mayo, he's good. Gary Guyton, good year.
But they're not on the fucking Patriots, so what do you expect?
Well, those two played for us.
Oh, wait.
Gerard Mayo and Gary Guyton.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant the other guys.
Yes. Yeah. But who was our next best linebacker? Can you take a guess?
No.
Junior Seau.
Yeah.
A 20-year veteran. And that's the sad part. He's now officially retired for good. He told the Pats, you know I've told you before, if you absolutely need it, I'll come back. He's like, I can't do it anymore. The dude's in his 40s. He's played some great football.
Yeah, he's got enough money to survive. He's good.
I mean, I can see him coming back, maybe becoming a linebacker coach. But his playing days are over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's get on to the game itself. All right, the New England Patriots lost to the Baltimore Ravens. First round, we failed on every aspect.
We failed on the passes. We failed on the catches.
Look, we failed on offense, defense, and special teams.
And special teams. Especially the first fucking thing.
Right
off the bat.
87-yard run.
That was fucking ridiculous.
They might as well just have went, here you go!
And then Brady
fumbling. Go on, go on! Let him go.
And then Brady fumbling, and they scored again. Two touchdowns in 4 minutes.
Yeah.
We were done. We knew right then. We scored 14 points altogether. Two touchdown catches by Julian Edelman. It was their run game that killed us. Do you know how many passing yards they had that game? 34.
Running? Fucking 1,000.
Vince Wilfork is coming off a bad ankle. That didn't help.
Yeah, no shit.
And they just had it. Ray Rice is good. So, I mean, I don't know what you guys want to say about it.
Honestly, this game probably showed just how bad the Patriots have gotten in the past couple of years.
No, I mean, it's not even that they were bad.
You've got to realize, too, it's been, 9 years since they won the first Super Bowl, and Tom Brady's slowly, slowly starting to show his age.
Yeah, but he's still not that old. He's
right.
30.
Neither was Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, but Drew Bledsoe had too many injuries. Remember?
And he was an antsy.
It took over 4 years, he had 9 injuries for Bledsoe.
But let's put it in this sense. Do you remember the whole thing when Bledsoe got hurt?
Yeah.
And then Tom Brady came in. He was the ballsiest motherfucker out there. He went fucking for everything. If he was just like, oh shit, I got nobody to pass to, they're closing in on me, and he'd run. And he'd fucking take on people. He wouldn't just go and slide the fuck out. He would just go and take on somebody.
Well, he still does that from time to time.
Once in a while. But he should have been able to do this on this recent playoff. I don't give a shit about his fucking knee. He should have been able to do that.
I know, dude.
And that's the thing that I'm worried about, is that he's thinking too much about that past injury, that injury that has healed,
right,
and he's worried going to happen again.
Whoa, wait. Let the professional talk on this one.
Yeah.
I suffered a bad knee injury.
So have I.
And, I continue to play.
The closest I've suffered was shin splits.
Never mind.
Wow, man. I had a doctor open up my knee. Okay, so basically what it is you're not sitting there worrying about whether or not it's going to get hurt again. It's even though the doctor's like, yep, it's healed, it's never fully healed. It takes almost 2 full years to heal.
Exactly.
Because the muscles need to regenerate and everything. So, my first couple of years of semi-pro, I still actually, even to this day, I still feel pain in it and stuff like that. So,
In that sense, it was within the 10 yards, somewhere on that, and he had, a nice big wide, nobody would have touched him anyways, yeah. He would have just jogged in.
But just in case.
He was like Moses, and there was the parting of the Red Sea, so he could have just walked through it.
Yeah, but what it is when you're running, they do try to take you out by the legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go through that again, because that could be your career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brady will be fine. The team will be fine. It's our defense that needs help. And we need a running back. I sat there and I studied who I thought would be good for here. And that's why I came up with Jonathan Dwyer. Sure, CJ Spiller is really good. He's fast. But he's not a power back. And being in New England, you need to be a guy that can hit up the middle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Dwyer will be our fit. So I think I'm going to be down for sports now. Thank you for letting me annoy you.
You're annoying us.
Oh, actually, wait. There is one last part. I went 2 for 4 last week with the picks. I am now going to make my picks again.
Let's try this again. See if you're right.
Shut up. I'm going to take the Chargers over the Jets.
Are you writing this down?
Okay. Chargers over Jets.
I'm going to get flipped off. Oh, yeah, I'm going to come back around.
Dick.
Shut up. I'm going to take Baltimore over Indy, because last time they played, Indy won by 2. So, I'm going for that one.
Okay.
I'm taking the Saints over whoever the hell they're playing. Oh, Arizona. And I'm going to get flipped off on this one. I'm taking Minnesota over Dallas. Now, Blue likes Dallas. I like Minnesota. And the key to the game, I'm going to go for this game only. I'm going to put the key to the game. Tony Romo versus Jared Allen. All-pro DN versus a quarterback. That's right. And then they still have to get through Kevin and Pat Williams.
Okay, all right. So what happens if he's 1 out of 4 this week?
Hey, I'll take 1 over 4 as long as it's Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
Even though I was laughing my balls off when it was 34-7 and then 14.
Shutty!
We were at the Roadhouse last week, and you were peering over at the game just laughing, pointing at Anvil.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
Alright, let's move on to video games here.
I took quite a bit of time.
Okay, maybe we'll move on to video games. It's something that's kind of related to sports, about getting fit.
Whoa. What are you pointing at me? You call me fat?
No, because for my birthday, I received the Wii Fit Plus. Now this
plus what?
The,
No, I'm sorry. I just had my picture.
This includes everything from the first Wii Fit, but with new exercises, hence the plus part of the title. And it contains exercises in various categories, which are yoga, strength, aerobics, balance, and training plus, which is kind of a mix of all of them.
I did some yoga this morning. Okay.
Kama Sutra doesn't count.
No. I tried one thing here, and then I tried one at home when I woke up. The one that I woke up was called Big Man Breaking Wind. I'm sorry. I saw a TV show, and they said, dog breaking wind or something was the move or whatever.
Yeah.
So I had to make the joke. I apologize.
The downward dog.
That's it. The downward dog breaking wind.
Now
he's thinking about animals farting.
What's good about these exercises is it tones your muscles, it improves your posture, and it also helps with your balance. And there's also an area of the software called My Wii Fit Plus, which helps focus on specific areas of the body, and also with your lifestyle. Like, say, if you need to learn how to rest better, if you need to relax better, there are exercises you can do to help out with that.
I do have one issue with this. Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, I play semi-pro ball, and some of my guys are big offensive and defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. Well, this thing's supposed to help you lose weight and everything, right?
Right.
Well, how's it supposed to help you if it can only hold 320 pounds? The average weight, if you take semi-pro, of an offensive lineman is 347 pounds. NFL is 352.
My guess is perhaps the Nintendo's going to work on a stronger Wii Fit Balance Board.
I mean, because I know one of my guys was telling me, I was just talking to him after you told me you had it.
Yeah.
Big Mike, he's like, yep. He's like, I got one. Brought back to the store the same day. He's like, I told him that I got the wrong one and ran out of the store with my money. He's like, because I tried and I broke it.
Oh.
He's one of our, you know, he's our nose tackle. He's close to 400 pounds.
I saw that there is the, you know, the legs.
Yeah, active.
You, no, the legs part. Like, is there legs on it, or can you take those off? Because that might give it some kind of capability of just being closer to the ground.
Yeah, you can take them off and you can put them back on, but they recommend that you have it on a flat surface and don't get any of, like, the carpeting stuck into it.
Oh, well, it could catch on fire. No,
no, but, I mean, if you're trying to help people lose weight with this product, you should make it so it can handle larger individuals.
Yeah. And my guess is that's what they're going to work on next.
I mean, Nintendo is Japan, as America is to fast food and that people.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of, you know, I think Wii's used, I mean, or Japan's used to, like, you know, smaller, you know, lighter type people, except for sumo wrestlers.
I'm going to Japan and complaining.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my god, Godzilla!
Yeah, that's
no, it's King Kong. Godzilla, not that hairy.
No, I'd just be like, okay. I know the Japanese guys would be like, we would like to play. Yeah, well, build me something that would hold my fat ass.
So I can play. Okay, let's move on into, you know, the Ducks introduction.
But this game, it's all about the willpower. If you keep at the game, you will see results. And it's also recommending outside exercise training, not just using the Wii Fit balancing board. It also tells you, go out, get a run, lift weights, and add that to your exercise.
Is willpower the new Will Ferrell movie?
No.
Oh, because it said it takes willpower. I'm sorry. I thought it was a new... No. Okay, I'm done being comical.
Okay, no. Douchebag.
And besides, it's Will Smith.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, ow.
So what's it, filmed in prison?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
in the shower.
My recommendation is try to get an hour's worth of exercise in 5 times a week.
What? Who told you that?
This is my recommendation.
It's 30 minutes. Recommended by doctors.
Okay.
Oh, fuck doctors. This is from the king.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Well, put it as this. 1 hour of aerobic and weight training.
Well, that's what's good about this is you can mix them up.
I know. Well, you said... That I just wanted to clarify over the hour.
Mm-hmm. And the balance board
beat me later.
Is very accurate. It measures your weight and balance to a key. And if someone that has issue with balance at times, it's good to know, like, how I'm improving and how I can make myself better at it.
Oh, Doc, didn't I show you how to balance that checkbook? Come on.
Not financially, you douche.
Oh! Right. On top of that, it's able to subtract, you know, the extra weight from clothes, and you can even set a goal to how much weight you want to lose.
Oh, I'm so putting my clothes weigh 50 pounds.
So don't do the Wii Fit naked. Okay. Check.
Unless you're very hot.
And I have a very private place to do this.
Or you just invite us to come and watch.
Exactly.
With cameras.
Can we just put that towards the women, not the...
Well, of course.
Yeah. Of course.
Of course. Only really hot women.
Well, bring our lesbian friends with us, too, so they can get in on it.
Yeah.
With or without implants, we don't judge. They're right. All still hot.
Now, I do have a bit of a gripe with the balance board, is that it doesn't seem to catch all the jumps. Like, if there's an exercise where you have to jump, and... What you gotta do is not literally jump because that'll break the board. You gotta, like, stand on your tiptoes to do it.
I was gonna say, I'm so going through it.
Yeah.
And sure. Your floor.
Especially in the obstacle course. Like, I get up to level 4, the final level of the obstacle course, and I try to jump to miss the log from before it hits me, and it never reads it. It flattens me out.
That's funny.
That sucks.
And, like I said, this game will give you a workout, and... It will leave you sore if you're not used to the exercises that they give you.
I think we already figured that out the first time we played.
Now, I have one question. How is the yoga like? Now,
it's pretty good. It measures the balance and everything. I've tried the warrior pose. It even shows you how to breathe properly on it.
All right, I'm going to admit, you know, being a big dude, especially a football player, we make fun of yoga. But
it's good to stretch.
I have a little secret.
That and ballerinas.
I got recommended by a doctor when I injured my ankles. Oh, actually, my left ankle. I tore the ligaments in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he recommended dance. I know that sounds dumb, but I was working at a Spanish nightclub, and I actually learned how to dance salsa. And it strengthened my ankles, and I've actually noticed, I've actually played a lot better in my career. And they had an interview with Reggie White, you know, before he passed away, and he said that that's what he used to do to get himself so fast, is salsa dance.
Wow.
So a lot of pro athletes are coming out that they danced or did yoga to make themselves better. But me personally, I mean, you've done it. How does it make you feel after?
Sore, and it makes it feel like you made a pretty damn good workout. Especially there's this one cool thing that's called free run. Basically, you run in place with the Wiimote in your pocket, and it kind of reads as a pedometer. But it measures how fast you're running and how fast your distance is. So far, the best I've done is a 7-minute, 48-second mile on it.
Oh, God, shit.
Damn.
That's fucking good.
I could do it in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'd like to see you try.
All right, give me a scooter.
No, we'll give you Segway.
No, because it reminds me of the pig cop from the mall.
Oh, Segway cop, yes. The man in blue is too lazy to walk.
He was walking last night with his pig face.
Oh.
Not far. Okay.
But anyway, 2 thumbs up for me for this game.
Cool.
Definitely recommend it. And although the graphics aren't up to par, it's not about the graphics for this game. It's about getting the workout.
Well, thank you, Duck. Now I might actually go purchase one.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So, Blawonic got to try out a game that he's been really wanting to play for a while, based on a certain movie starring a certain actor who goes, "Now shoot this motherfucker right here."
Morgan Freeman, yeah.
Wanted.
So yes. Basically he wanted to play Wanted.
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
I was having the want of the want of the want to play the weapons of the fates.
The want of the want of the bang, biggie, diggy, niggas, and the bumper, so you don't jump the buggy.
Later on that one, yes.
And I want to, you know, get with Angelina Jolie from that movie with all those sexy tattoos on her back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, okay. What's going on with this game is a whole setup where it's basically after the movie where Wesley is trying to figure out what the fuck is going on with his actual real life, not the whole life that was set up by his father and everything like that. Come to find out that Wesley is an abomination of the fraternity, basically. He's just, it was between two of the fraternity members that they had a kid. And it seems that, you know, this whole story is based on this, of course, Anvil will capitalize on this one, the French fraternity going after him.
Quack! Quack!
Well, anyways, for the French fraternity, where it has the one of their high-end members called the Immortal.
Did they surrender?
No.
Oh, but I thought the French all surrendered.
No, they were pretty impressive on the attack. but anyways, the Immortal was trying to take out Cross, or Wesley's father, at one point, and Cross was able to do this special, you know, the curve the bullet into his barrel and have the gun explode into his face, so he has, like, half a face. And the great thing about this is that I was actually happy that they brought Peter Stomare in.
No.
Yes. Peter Stomare, the great actor from, you know, Bad Boys 2, the Russian Grim Reaper himself.
Yes.
But anyways, he did a great job with the voice acting. I think the video game was really just, I thought it was really good, but from a lot of reviews that I read online just to check up on it, people were like, "This game is just crap. You could finish it in 4 hours, blah, 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 this and that." And I was just like, you know what? Yeah, you can do that. Yes, it doesn't have online play, you know, but I liked it because it actually had a basis of the movie. It's like, I don't know how many times I played a fucking game that was supposed to be based on a movie, but didn't have any fucking thing with it. It just didn't fucking make any sense. But I do look forward that there is going to be another Wanted movie that will be coming out. The other thing I have to say about this game is that the actor who played Wesley wasn't the actor from the movie. So, but he did a good job with the voice. He, you know, he played it just almost the same. I almost mistaken him for him. I had to look it up on IMDb. But I definitely give the Wanted Weapons of Fate 2 thumbs way the fuck up. Because it was that good. Definitely it does have, you know, 3 to 4 hour, maybe even 5 hour play to it. Because I've been kind of like playing it at night. And when you get tired, you kind of lose all fucking senses, and then I'll go play it in the morning, and I do that part that I was struggling on in 2 seconds because I was fucking tired. But, yeah, this is definitely one of those games that it might feel a little repetitive here and there because, you know, you're killing almost maybe the same guys. But I think this game definitely has a nice storyline to it. It's set up just right. Bingo. That's what I wanted. But I definitely was kind of glad that I waited. Because that was kind of like how I dealt with the Bourne, what was it?
Ultimatum?
Well, no, well, it wasn't called Ultimatum, it was called, like, the Bourne something. It was another video game that
wasn't
I played.
The Bourne Code?
No.
The Bourne...
Whatever.
Yeah.
But anyways, with that whole setup, it was, I bought that game, and it was 60 bucks when I bought it, and I played the game, and it was basically me playing the first, maybe, movie and a half. Like, I played into the second movie, and halfway through, I was kind of pissed. But, yeah, definitely, if you got a couple extra bucks in your pocket, and you want to go and play it, yeah, I know it's from 2008, but anyways, fuck it, it's cheap, go and play it, whatever. But on to the next game, bought this game yesterday, but we got to play it for about 3 hours, and we're not done yet, whatever, we'll still keep going on with it probably next week's show too, just because, but...
So, part one of a review.
Yes. Part one of a review that we will probably shit all over Game Informer just because. Game Informer gave this game a 6.5. And this is in their recent magazine for February, I guess, whatever, because they always like to do their shit a month ahead. But anyways, their whole setup is they said that the game was, you know, they finally toned down on the whole antics between the characters. And if you don't understand what game I'm talking about, it's Army of Two, 40th Day. And the setup is there's two guys, they're mercenaries, they have full-body Kevlar, and they go around kicking ass and taking names. And from the first story, just to really kind of cut to the point, they were working under a company, and that company fucked them. So they decided to take care of the company that was trying to screw them and actually kill them, too, and took them off the face of the fucking map. Then they created their own ones called TWO, Trans World Ordnance, meaning Army of Two. So, in the second one, they are now in Shanghai, and they basically are just doing one mission, and it ends up into a clusterfuck, more or less. This group called the 40th Day Initiative comes in and starts fucking up the place with tons of Predator missiles and all that other fun shit. They just fucking up the place. Planes are crashing into buildings. No incense, you know, to fucking 9/11 here, but no, it was not like that. Just shit's just going on everywhere. But the Anvil and I, we sat there last night and we played on the co-op, and I'm actually glad that it was better to do it in that way, because sometimes I'm not saying that this is happening with this game, but when I go to play it by solo play, I definitely have to say that it might be a little bit awkward to be playing with a computer. But I definitely do suggest to play this game with a friend or otherwise overline with somebody that you know that would have it. Now, what did you feel about the game, Anvil?
I actually really liked it. Now, you told me about, you know, what was said in the magazine. I say they're retarded.
Yeah.
Blind and have never touched a video game in their life. The graphics, I thought, were awesome.
Maybe some of the explosions were a little bit kind of things, or otherwise when you saw the explosions happen and the buildings were falling off, they kind of seemed too perfect because they weren't broken into pieces. They were kind of broken to fine squares. But that kind of happens.
Now, is there, out of curiosity, is there like a mini game on Army of Two, the 40th Day, that's similar to the commercial that they had where they're going through the office? And...
No. But there was supposed to be a mini game from the first one that would have that didn't happen. And it was supposed to be brought into this one, but they didn't do it.
Oh.
It was supposed to be a whole thing where they had a medic game. It was basically when your partner goes down, you grab your partner, drag them to a safe area, and then you actually would be working on them, like resuscitating them, instead of just doing this whole adrenaline pump shot to the heart and then they're back up and running. You know, this would be this whole, they had this whole setup where it was kind of funny, where you'd actually see the character in the top part of like the screen running away from the light. So it was kind of funny in that sense. But yeah, they never got into that. I think they thought it was going to be maybe a little bit too much for the player, or otherwise kind of create too much of an annoyance. But yeah, I definitely say that Game Informer kind of fucked up. I mean, we got past the whole building coming down thing. I thought it was it was intense, especially coming down.
Oh, man.
Alright, let's just put it this way. Predator missile cut a building in half and laid it down on another one. So you're literally walking down the side of a skyscraper, taking out guys. And in the first one, it was just as intense because of the fact is you were trying to fucking fight up a fucking aircraft carrier to get the fuck off of it. It was insane.
Was it as intense as, say, the submarine level in Modern Warfare?
Now, that's a good question. Yeah, or the ship level from Call of Duty 4?
Yeah.
I think even more intense than that.
Really?
Because of the fact you do have a rocket come in and hit the ship on Call of Duty 4. This one, you're literally on a skyscraper walking down and hiding against shit. And I think I like the whole tactical sense that you're able to work with a partner.
Yeah.
And I think it was better to have him in the room instead of talking to him over mic, because I had to do it for the demo.
The parts that I personally liked was when you had guys with shields or guys with, you know, and like big old Gatling guns.
Oh, fuck.
Me and him would split, and he'd, you know, jump up fire, take the cover, and I'd take him out. Or with the bosses at certain parts, they're covered with full armor, and their weak points are like towards their back. So one of us would draw fire while the other one leapfrogged around and took care of it. And it's one of those games that I don't think you can pull off doing online. Because the person won't listen, they'll want to do their own way.
Well, unless it's one of your good friends, then they could probably do it. Because what it is it's set up as an aggrometer. There's a thing on the top saying, okay, if one of your guys is shooting and they have either a bigger gun or something like that, and they shoot their gun, all the characters will mainly be shooting towards that one. And the other one can kind of run around and come up from behind and start beating the shit out of them all. Yeah. And it's very impressive how they did that. I like it. I can't see the fact that that the fucking Game Informer would come around and just, you know, say this shit. I mean, they kind of just were like, yeah, this is kind of just lacking in intensity and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fuck you. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
These
are one of those games that I like. It's just, even they did, the second part, and I think he from the 6.5, the other guy gave it a 6.25. I was just like, dude, I've seen that happen too many times where Game Informer is just like,
I agree with what this guy said.
Yeah, I mean, he's just like, yeah, it's kind of like this, same fucking thing, whatever. Blah,
it's like
blah.
Hannity and Combs.
Yeah, exactly. So I think definitely I'm giving two thumbs up as of right now, and then once we go on to playing some more of the game, we will definitely come back in full result it.
Yeah,
but we definitely have to say that there is that weird Asian guy that's giving us fucking histories, and we had to kill a fucking white Bengal tiger.
No, I killed him.
Okay, fine. No, I killed him because I was Rios.
I was Rios. It said Rios chose.
You chose, I killed.
Yeah, but I got the weapon, so it doesn't matter.
Alright, well, it was still fucked up with the security guard, though.
Well, okay, I feel bad on that one. I chose on the thing to take the weapons, and the gun gets...
Salem goes and tells him, okay, can you get that gun out of my face? He goes and pushes it to the side. The gun fires, discharges, and ricochets right off the locker and right back into the security guard's head.
Like, right to the temple.
How fucked up is that? Because what it is they've added this morality thing. And it's kind of awkward because there's positive and negative. Because you got to save civilians. And if you kill the guys that are trying to kill the civilians, then you get positive morality. But if you can't save them, then negatives. It's, I don't understand what's going on with it, but I'll find out down the road. But, yeah, I think we're done here.
Yeah, two thumbs up on my side so far. I can't wait till we actually... finish it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the movie that the three of us just went and saw, The Book of Eli, starring Denzel Washington and Gary Oldman.
And Mila Kunis.
Who
is, oh my god.
Hot. Yeah. She's like part Russian, right?
Yes. I'd like to sit down and drink some vodka with her.
Now, basically, this movie's about, like, 30 years after something happened.
The flash in the sky, which they say came from the war, so it's most likely a big old nuclear device that ripped a hole through the ozone layer.
Yeah, because they can't figure out or explain anything because they've been dumbed down in a society.
But they show that giant crater in the ground, so that's what...
Yeah, but they showed a couple different craters. It was kind of like, why isn't that still kind of radiated, and why aren't they dying?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, you still got ash in the sky, because the first part of the movie is him... killing a cat.
Yes.
In ash. So, that's what I had to say about that. But, go ahead, King.
And basically, Denzel Washington plays a character who, at first, is nameless, but then you find out his name is Eli. And he's carrying the only copy of the King James Bible.
Yes.
And he is trying to go west to Alcatraz, right?
Well, he's just trying to go west. He doesn't know where.
He explained it as a sense that he had a voice in his head after, you know, a year after the light, you know, in the sky happened. Mm-hmm. So then, after that, he goes and, you know, he just, this friggin' voice in his head goes, tells him, under some rubble is, you know, a book. And he goes and uncovers a book, and he has to go and... to the west. I don't know. Like, it doesn't even give us an explanation of where the fuck he actually started in the first place.
Yeah, it doesn't tell, you know, it doesn't give us much.
Yeah.
Man, not even his accent, we couldn't figure out where he was.
It's Denzel Washington. You can't figure out that one, so.
Yeah.
The man never has an accent. He's just a Denzel.
And it's basically a kill or be killed type of society, and there's even cannibalism, too.
Yeah, cannibal actor.
Correct. And... Gary Oldman finds out that this guy has the copy of the book, and he wants it. So, Mila Kunis goes off with Denzel Washington to try to help him out with his journey to bring the book. Yeah. And, you know, just a lot of fucked up things happen.
Basically.
Did you find it sexy when Mila Kunis threw that grenade?
Oh, yeah. My God.
She was hot.
Or when she's sitting there holding that automatic weapon and she cocks it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
She was holding the MP5. That was pretty fucking sexy.
Mm. Yes.
Mila Kunis has been in a lot of good things lately.
Yeah, like, I used to hate her when she was on that 70s show, but when she finally got away from that and started doing normal movies and...
Right.
And became of age.
Yeah. It was just the character of Jackie that was kind of a bit of a turn-off.
Yeah, exactly. It was... She's hot, but I don't like her character. And, dude, you gotta remember, when that 70s show was on, we weren't even legal yet.
Yeah, technically.
Well, you were.
No, I'm just kidding.
No. Because it premiered in 1999. I was just 14.
What? Exactly. It premiered that long ago?
Yeah.
So I was 12?
Yeah, and I was 13.
No, duh. No. You could figure out the math.
No, I would know.
But anyway, I want to know what your two thoughts are on the whole religious aspect of the thing. Because as you two are atheists, I wasn't too clear as to how you two thought of it.
It hurt. No. I mean, actually, like, that was the whole thing about when I... Like, the first 10-15 minutes of the movie was just kind of, like, slow. Silent. It was just fucking slow. He didn't, like, do anything. Hell, he even stole a guy who committed suicide, and he fucking stole his boots. I was just like, wow, dude, that's kind of harsh, but...
I thought it was kind of cool how he fed the mouse some...
Yeah, he was kind of cool. He was good,
it funny that he feeds a mouse cat's flesh.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny and ironic.
But, I mean, like, he didn't really go and start reciting shit until he started kicking ass.
Yeah.
But I do like the whole fact when he was kicking ass, that was the main fucking thing that was just getting me on this movie. But the whole religious aspect to it, I mean, I do give it respect on the fact that, yeah, he was trying to keep something going that got,
fucked over.
He basically fucked over because it was, and I mean, I probably would be one of the people doing it, but what it was is after the fire in the sky or light in the sky, whatever the fuck you want to call it, people were taking religious books and burning them. So in that sense, as an atheist, I probably would be like, yeah, this is the main reason why we, you know, fucked up society. There you go, toss it in. But,
because, yeah, they made that point. It was like, the book, apparently, is what caused the war in the first place.
Yeah, because they said it was a holy war. And, I mean, that kind of brings us to what we're going through now. Because over, you know, in the Muslim world, where we're currently fighting, they say it's a holy war.
So, yeah, but I really don't think it's going to end up in an Armageddon.
Setting. Well, no, but this is their, you know, version of what would wind up happening.
Yeah.
Because it's not a holy war to us. It's a holy war to them.
Right.
But if you've ever read the Quran, it never mentions any of this.
Yeah.
Because I actually work with a couple of Muslims, and they've told me straight out. And I've read the, you know, the Quran myself.
Quran, the Torah, the Bible.
I've read the Buddhist stuff. And because being an atheist doesn't mean that I'm ignorant.
No, it's just, not that. It's just that
everything sounds alike to me, basically.
Yeah, it's basically, it's just the way that you want to pick your own things. And
right, basically.
As an atheist or as atheists here, I think we just want to just choose our own path, which we'd rather just, fuck it, stay neutral or whatever, because we don't fucking care. We just don't want to hear it anymore.
I mean, I understand it completely. Like, I'm Christian, but...
No.
Not kidding.
No, you are the duck.
Yes.
Not Christian.
But,
I'm just kidding.
But anyway, I'm Christian, but I'm also open to the ideas and beliefs of others if they are right. Like, as in...
Gays and lesbians, all that other fun stuff. Just right down the line, basically.
It's a matter of common sense.
I know me and Blue joked around last night kind of about it. Because, you know, they say that, you know, Jesus died for our sins. And we said, you know, who tells us what a sin is? But he did. He told us what was a sin, so he died for what he thought was a sin. Now, me and we've agreed that we'd go to church every day if the book ever said Jesus died for candy.
Yeah, we bought a Cadbury. I picked it up and I went, these are back in you know, season now? And he's just like, yeah, I guess. I was like, I'll buy it. And I was just like, yeah, I'd believe in Jesus if there was candy, you know, kind of thing.
Or if he died for beer or died for
wine,
boobies.
Wine, titties, anything.
I'm pretty sure. You have to read the book that Pink Taco lent me, Lamb, the Gospel According to Biff, Jesus' Best Friend.
Yeah.
You would like that sort of aspect of it, because he kind of does die for those things.
And you know what? I had to say this, but I was going after the French. And I'm part French, so I could kind of say it.
Yeah.
But in the other sense, I could say that I was just like, the whole concept of having wine and crackers, I have to say it came from the French. It had to have, because they were like, yes, this is the blood of Christ. Cranberry, or grape, or something, red wine. And it's just like, wow, that's amazing.
I'm hungry.
If it was French, I would figure it would have been more champagne, because wine's more... Much
Italian, maybe,
Italian, yes.
But I can still see the Italian and the French side of it.
Champagne is made from, you know, the grapes from the Champagne region of France.
Either way.
Exactly.
Yes, I may not drink it, but I understand it. Did you know that whiskey comes from the barrels of Ireland? Haha.
No.
No.
I'm blonde. I couldn't figure it out. Went out.
All right. Hey, a lot of people don't know.
But we kind of went off track on the
first
movie.
Second.
Whatever. Yeah. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But... I just kind of feel indifferent to this movie. I was kind of expecting the whole religious aspect of the whole thing, but...
Well, clearly.
There wasn't enough to really give me attention. I'll give it a thumbs up.
Yep, same
but here.
You were on your cell phone half the time, dick. All right, fine. I'll give it a thumbs up. Just one thumbs up. Just because of the fact...
Yeah, just one.
I think I love the fact that there's, you know... the guns. Fuck, when they opened up the back of the bank truck, and seeing that a bank truck would survive,
Yes. They
pulled out the bank truck and slid out the big fucking crank-handled fucking Gatling gun. I was so happy.
I prefer the coach.
Yeah, I know. The coach full of weapons, that was impressive, but the old people were creepy.
Yes, I mean, Denzel Washington, I think all the actors did
Let's
a good job.
Let's hear some music! Would you ring my bell? Ring my bell!
Yeah, I guess that would be the 30 years. Yeah, never mind.
No, I think it would have been funnier if she put on a record and it was Killswitch Engage. I remember this song so well.
I remember fucking surfing the crowds and the booby grabbing.
I really think it would have been messed up if they had Rammstein's pussy.
Yes!
You are pussy. I am Geeka. What's the problem?
Yeah, if you could get that on record, I'd be happy.
Whoa. I'm pretty sure there's a vinyl version out there.
Probably.
We should have looked when we were at Newbery Comics.
Well, it is Rammstein, so, you know, they do have a lot of things made out of vinyl.
Not again!
Sadomasochism.
Okay, well, you two went and saw the new Jackie Chan movie.
Yes. We did go see the new Jackie Chan movie.
It was about showing feelings and emotions.
Go fucking dog.
No. What you gotta do is tell him, seeing that he's the king baby duck, you gotta tell him to go fuck a duck.
No, because if he's a duck, that's what he would fuck.
Exactly. Anyways.
Go have sex at a Chinese restaurant and see how long you survive.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Fuck a goose? No.
All right, so let's break it down like this. Jackie Chan just did a new movie. Now, Quackers over here kept on saying,
it's like pacifier!
Well, it's nothing
not
like pacifier.
Really pacifier. I mean,
it kind of looked like it from the trailer.
Well,
big action star taking care of kids.
All right. Well, what happens is Jackie Chan plays Bob Ho.
Bob Hope?
Yes.
Bob Ho. No, Bob Ho.
Okay.
Like a prostitute ho.
Okay.
So, you know, he finishes his last mission, puts, you know, the bad guy in jail, and retires as a spy. He's dating his next door neighbor, and she has three kids who hate him.
To death.
And no, they actually, like.
They wanted him to die.
Oh, Bob Day!
They always kept wanting to, like, you know, say he was a cyborg or some kind
of
thing.
Yeah, there was a cyborg.
Because he was a pen salesman, which is probably the worst fucking cover I've ever heard.
I don't know. Nobody ever investigates the pen salesman. If I told you, you know, if I was a spy, I told you I was a pen salesman.
I would
be
like,
are you coming to my job?
Are you fucking serious?
I sell pen and pencil sets.
Yeah, I don't know. That one was.
And we help refill the ink inside of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So, basically, relative of hers. Actually, it was her father. Went up falling and breaking his hip. Playing softball, sliding in the third base. Breaks his hip. She flies out and he takes care of the children. Well, one of them uploads a program from his computer, which winds up being a secret thing from the enemy. And they come after him. It's kind of cool. So you've got the enemy attacking. You have him trying to get the kids to like him. So two wars.
I have to say something about the whole thing with the stunts and everything like that.
Yes.
I don't think Jackie Chan did all of his stunts. I really
he's getting older.
Yeah,
he did all of his stunts.
I think that's bullshit because there were so many cut views and everything like that. You really couldn't see his face. And
well, he,
you know, sticking a guy in a coat and having him do his stunts for him, I wouldn't be so
shocked. Well, he said he did all of his own stunts.
I'd have to see that. I mean, like, you know, the whole setup where they actually show that.
They said he did say he had help, but he did the stunts.
Okay.
Like when he was younger, riding the bike, he would have done it all by himself. This time, he just held onto the bike and a cable did it.
Yeah, cable did it.
But he still had to hold on while that bike did some really cool flips.
Right.
But all in all, I thought it was a good movie. Once we got past the little fucking retards that were in the movie, and they wouldn't shut up, because there were a bunch of teenagers in there talking. Oh my god, he's so cute. You can go up and kiss him now. And
yeah,
oh, there's no Chris Tucker in this movie. This movie's horrible because there's no Chris Tucker in there. Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Actually, I think it was more like the other kids were being just absolute douchebags and they're like, oh, don't touch me. Oh, I hurt myself. Or,
you could have it all my fire dirt.
No, one of the kids actually said, "You." And I think this is from like a 10 to 13 year old kid saying, yeah, you could suck on my anaconda. I'm like, okay. And then when the three girls left that were in front of us that were starting shit, they left to go and do something, whatever they did, and we're like, yes, and he's just like, fucking whore, or something like that. I was just like,
and
I was like, that's it, I'm gonna grab this fucking kid, I'm gonna fucking bring him up into the light so he can see, like, spots, and then punch him in the face a couple more times.
I got kind of grossed out at one point, because I looked over to the left to say something to you, and one of the dudes and one of the girls, they stick out their tongue, and they're, like, licking each other's tongues. I'm like,
ew.
Now, I know I'm into some really weird shit.
Yeah,
I've never thought about
fucking somebody's tatted.
It's kind of stupid.
The question I had was, where the fuck were their parents? I was just like, I just wanted to, like, beat the shit out of their parents just because.
I really think this movie would have been a lot better if they weren't there.
Yeah, well, this is what you get for going on a Friday fuck night.
Yeah.
For a fucking, for a movie. For I mean, especially a PG movie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, buddy.
I'm sorry.
You know.
Hey, you didn't have to pay for it. Shut up.
I know, but still.
I paid for it because I dragged you. It's okay.
Okay. Fucking kids.
But all in all, I thought it was a good movie, well planned out.
I give it one thumbs up on my side, just because.
I give it 1.5.
The only thing about that is that it was kind of cheap how they did the intro, because they just took a lot of Jackie Chan's movies and just put them together and, you know, just like, there you go, he's Agent Man, Special Agent Man.
Well, truthfully, like, I think some of the gadgets they have were even, you know, like, really well thought out and cool, like, that lighter, the shot, it was almost like a
flamethrower. The wristwatch that was like his own, like, little GPS system.
And then that little pen that shot out the rocket that the little girl used.
That
to knock me out.
Yeah, exactly. There's another character yet again. That there was a Russian version of the anvil on there.
He had a beard and a bald head, and yeah. I just shaved my head yesterday, so yeah, we looked like.
But I did like his other gadget when the kid, like every time he goes to put the kiddo to bed, she'd run out and go, and then he just did like a special lasso pen that would shoot out, and yeah. He'd always do his shit around the little kid, but not the older ones, because the little kid, you wouldn't be able to, you know.
There was one part of the movie that actually kind of creeped me out, and that's when the boy gave the little baby pig bacon.
Yeah.
And then the older
girl... That's just wrong.
She's like, that's wrong, and the little girl's like, why? She's eating a piece of bacon. The older girl whispers in her ear, and you see the little girl spit out the bacon, and she's slapping her tongue.
Yeah.
That was comical, but yeah, I give it 1.5 thumbs.
Yeah. Alright, well, on to the next one.
Yes.
Which is with the king...
Yeah.
The duck went to see a queer movie.
It wasn't.
No, it didn't.
No, it wasn't.
And we were French people.
I went with our friend Nanya to see Youth and Revolt, starring Michael Cera from Arrested Development, Superbad, and the upcoming Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. And he plays a little kid. He plays a kid named Nick Twisp, a virgin who falls for a girl named Sheenie, who's played by Portia Doubleday. And she's a new face in Hollywood. This is her first movie, and she was pretty good. Sheenie, what the fuck are you laughing about?
So me and him are having a little conversation back and forth.
Yes, mentally. Just go ahead.
Don't worry about it.
Unfortunately, Sheenie has a boyfriend but is not serious about him. And Nick meets Sheenie on a vacation. Nick has to go back home. So Nick comes up with the idea to try to get kicked out of his house and live up in the city where Sheenie's from. So he comes up with an alter ego by the name of Francois, and the initial plan was to trash his mom's boyfriend's car. Unfortunately, that trash car turns into a blowing up half the city.
Oh, only half?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, technically part of the town. So he winds up going with his father because his father winds up finding a job with the help of Sheenie in the city that she's from, only to find out that Sheenie has now been taken to a French boarding school by her very strict Catholic family.
Ooh.
So now he has to figure out how to see her from there, and probably try to get her kicked out of that school. So he does a lot of crazy stuff to do that I can't really go into, because you have to see the movie, because I...
It'll don't want to spoil it.
Yeah. Now, for you two... This is not another super bad movie.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I heard it was.
No, it's not. It's more indie comedy than anything. And Michael Cera is, you know, he's always funny as the nervous boy. But I'm really happy to actually see him, like, literally grow a pair of balls in this film.
Well, actually, he rented them.
It's his alter ego.
From Ball Donald. McBaldles.
But... the mustachioed badass alter ego was really cool too, the whole Francois thing. And this movie is more of a film for the shy guy in all of us that just wants to do something for love but feel too timid to do anything. And Francois is kind of like the runaway dick with a cause.
Awesome! I wish I had that.
Now the supporting cast is great. Fred Willard as the neighbor is a hoot. He kind of plays this guy who hides illegal immigrants because he wants to give them a chance. And there's a part of this movie where you get to see him high in mushrooms.
Awesome!
And he's lying on the floor just like as a board. It's like, he's just like going...
Is he kind of like Jon Stewart in Half-Baked? Have you ever seen the stars on weed?
Yeah, a little bit.
That'd be great.
And Zach Galifianakis is also in this movie.
Whoa,
his name's too fucking long.
Galifianakis.
Is that the dude from, that's the dude from Hangover, right?
Right.
Zach Galifianakis, yeah.
He's not on the screen for too long. He's only in, like, from the first 30 minutes because something happens to his character. But then Ray Liotta comes in as a very good jerky cop. Kind of a little bit similar to...
Ray Liotta, yes.
Similar to his role in Observe and Report.
Oh, great.
But more of a dick than anything.
Ooh. But that's what he's good at.
Yeah.
Being a douche.
Speaking of dicks, no.
The storyline was pretty good. It's fucked up in some places here and there. But you want to root for Nick even when he goes a little bit too far. Why are you showing me that?
Because he likes to fuck with you. Anyways.
Never see a state trooper without his hat on.
Okay.
Two thumbs up for me. Hilarious and deserves to be seen by more people. Not getting just number 9 in the box office mojo thing.
I don't know. I might wait for it to come out and then steal it. No, I'm kidding. I'd probably buy it.
But it is pretty funny. You'll like the short cartoons that they have. In between, there's some times where they'll go into claymation.
What?
Well, in the opening credits, it goes into claymation. And then there's kind of like a whole South Park type of thing going on there, driving to the French boarding school. And then when they're tripping on mushrooms, you're seeing like cartoon characters of people fucking.
He just talked me out of it.
Yeah, I don't know about that part.
I was thinking about buying it, and then you tell me about claymation, and I'm like, no, never mind.
Alright, on to the next thing.
We go with the Wolf Mother.
We'll go with the Wolf Mother, and then I think we can cut it there because we've gone like way over time.
My mom's not a wolf.
Mine is.
Sorry.
It's
a wilder beast, I know. Leave me alone.
We just bought the new album from Wolf Mother, Cosmic Egg. It came out like late last year. We've only listened to the first 7 or 8 tracks of it so far?
Yeah.
We were rocking out to that thing. We're rocking.
All I could say is my truck system couldn't handle it.
I know, it was like boom, 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 boom.
No, but I think they purposely kind of did that. I think you'd hear that kind of set up on any like, even if it was a really good fucking sound system.
I guess I'll start off. It was actually pretty cool, I really enjoyed it. Except there was one song that sounded like, they took Oasis and put Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin together.
I think that might have been either In the Morning or Ten. Yeah, In the Morning.
Yeah, thank you. In the Morning.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like I don't mind Oasis so much.
No.
It was kind of like Wonderwall, more or less.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I really enjoyed hearing it. It's a good band. I've never heard of them before until today.
I'm surprised at that because they had that one song, "Woman, You Need a Woman."
Yeah.
I'm more into rap and hip hop. Right. I remember that. So I mean, the Duck introduced me to the music and. I'm glad he did, because I enjoy it myself.
Mm-hmm. And the guy's name is Andrew Stockdale. He's the only original member left of Wolf Mother. The other two guys left, so we got 3 more people to replace him.
So 2 leave, you get 3?
Right.
So does that mean that he got, there's one fat guy and a skinny guy that left, so you got 3 people of equal weight?
Basically. It was basically like the same stuff what happened with the Clicks. The only original person left is the original, so he upgraded.
We got Brian Biglino.
For the Clicks, but I'm not sure who they got for this.
I know, you were talking about the Clicks.
Right. But I'm liking it. When I first heard of Wolf Mother, they kind of reminded me of Led Zeppelin, but also a little bit of Electric Eel Shock, too.
Yeah, they have that. Except the English version.
Australian, to be precise.
Okay, fine.
The Aussie Bastards.
Yes, Aussie Bastards.
Aussie Bastards. So far, and we're into the 8 tracks, and I give it 2 thumbs up so far. It could change.
Fuck it, I'll give 2 thumbs up. I didn't mind it.
I don't have fingers anymore.
And I also bought the new Vampire Weekend album, but we haven't had a chance to listen to that one yet.
Yeah, not so much yet.
Not so much. But Wolf Mother caught on the gig, and it was pretty good. It's pretty good so far.
Yeah.
You can probably tell that we weren't exactly plan to review this one because it was kind of a last minute purchase. We just got this right after we saw the Book of Eli.
Yeah, I mean, we have some other stuff planned, but
let's go to fucking Newbery Comics. Why don't we do that, Mr. King Paper Duck? I'm sorry.
yeah, because we had a lot more planned, but things ran longer. We expected, a couple things to run longer than normal because I let the King know that there were a lot to go in sports, and I used my lot.
I'm sorry, I'm a bad moderator. I'm a bad moderator. Whatever.
No, you're a good moderator.
Yeah.
Good blue.
Get a cookie. Anyways. No cookies. I think we can cut it off now.
Yeah, let's stick a fork in it. So remember, check out our website at bostonbastardbrigade.com. And if you want to contact us, our email is thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. Send in your feedback and requests for topics and things to review.
Then there is myspace.com/bostonbastardbrigade. You can go to that. And still working on that motherfucking Facebook. I'm still working on it. I'll get it done.
But we do have a fan page on there, too,
Yes,
right?
we have a fan page on Facebook, so you can definitely check that out. If you could find us by that, then you've got...
And, don't forget to check out our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. Show them the love. It's a great show.
And don't forget they're also on iTunes if you can't find them online.
Yeah.
just to let you guys know, we have a lot of things coming up. Check out our website, read the articles. You know, I know I weekly put in my little small little sports. We all put up different things, and me and Blue have a new little side project, which
the three of us will probably work on tonight.
Because we're gonna do at least once a month, if not twice, a food review for little restaurants and stuff like that. Give you an idea of where you might want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Check
for the,
out
for mainly right now the North Shore area of Massachusetts, well, because actually, we're trying to figure out how to expand this a little bit.
Well,
better.
I work in Boston, so I mean, yeah, that gives me a chance to head out that way.
Right, and then I can hit whatever
we
I hit.
We're talking about maybe doing something on the West Coast, but we
it's still in talks. It's yeah, still in talks.
But we're doing some talks about some West Coast, maybe some traveling down South area. So, you know, you keep watching. We'll keep you guys informed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got a lot of good stuff going on. This is a good group.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we appreciate everybody listening. Our numbers grow weekly, and that makes us very happy.
Yeah.
Because
it's always titillating to hear it every week.
It's doubled in the past few weeks.
I know.
That's fucking sick, dude. That's awesome that we're going to be able to get that. And hopefully, with everything that we're doing, we're going to get a hell of a lot more. So
I know we've talked about Fenway Park and Patriot Place, because I've actually gotten requests about that, as you guys know.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, that, and if you need to, if we're working on movies. We're trying to find out the ones that we think are going to probably be the best probably to see, and hopefully when we go and see them, you know, we'll get this to you beforehand, because sometimes these movies could be absolute shit on the stick.
Yes. So send us, you know, your requests for movies, music, TV, everything.
Everything and anything.
If you go out to eat and you say, oh my god, this is the best thing I ever ate, let us know.
Yeah.
We will take the trip out.
Right.
Hell, we'll even write a review for you. Or you can comment on it when we go and put up the setup for that one.
Yes. Yeah. You know, because you can always leave your own little part. Hey, you know, we like this place. You know, check it out. This is what, you know, you might like, blah, 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 blah.
All right.
Basically,
that's it.
Give us everything you can. You know what we talk about. If you have any questions with sports, anime, music, movies, anything, that's what we're here for. So ask your questions, and we'll do our best to answer. I think that's pretty good. You know, yeah. I think we're done. Yeah.
Yes. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Blue Onyx.
This is Anvil.
Saying sayonara, bitches.
We are the Bastards.